In our remaining minutes tonight, I want to continue where we started last Wednesday with some thoughts relative to the Bible and what it teaches concerning the Incarnation. I think it's important for God's people to be well-versed in what the Bible teaches about the Incarnation of Jesus Christ. God was not born in Bethlehem. That is a false narrative. And I, from time to time, I hear people say that, you know, celebrating God being born in Bethlehem. Well, God was not born in Bethlehem. God is the eternal existent one. Jesus Christ said, I am. I am. And so, well, what happened at Bethlehem? Well, God became man. His sonship as a human began in Bethlehem. But his sonship did not begin in Bethlehem. All right, there was some teaching some years ago by John MacArthur who came out that said that the sonship of God began in Bethlehem. And he was challenged for several years that he refused to change his position. And then, I guess almost 8 or 9 years ago now, he changed his position back to what he originally had believed for some years and then came out saying that his sonship, the sonship of Jesus Christ, began in Bethlehem. When you go back to Psalm chapter 2, it's very clear, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And that's capitalized, speaking of Jesus. And we're well before Bethlehem at that time. And so sometimes we get into doctrinal areas, if we're not careful, separating the truth, rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding things. God was not born in Bethlehem. God became man in Bethlehem. And the language is stressed to the point of almost breaking. God makes it clear to us that truth. We looked at John chapter 6, and this is one of the great passages in the Bible dealing with the fact that Jesus makes it clear to the children of Israel, to the people of His day, and to us, that He came from heaven. He came from heaven. 10 times in John chapter 6, he references this. I want to just kind of go through those very quickly. I think it's important for us to see that. Look at verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Where did the manna come from? It came from heaven. The Bible makes that clear. God brought it from heaven and gave it to the children of Israel to eat. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now who is he talking about? We've left the manna of the Old Testament. Now we're talking about the true bread from heaven. And who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Again, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Skip down to verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You'll often see that truth paired together with God sending his Son. Back in John chapter 3, several references. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, sent from heaven. Very important for us to keep that in our minds. Let's go down to verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. Now remember, there were two things they were upset about in this passage about Jesus. Number one, his reference to his origin. They thought he came from Nazareth. They knew his father, Joseph. And yet he says he's from heaven. And then they were agitated with the meaning of the utterances that he said concerning, I am the bread of life from heaven. So these two things disturbed them, and the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Then we look at verse 42. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? I want you to know that the truth of the Incarnation was despised. It was absolutely despised by his own people. You know, we're told that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Why? They rejected the truth of the incarnation. You cannot be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ if you don't believe that he was the Son of God that was incarnated in Bethlehem and became the Son of Man for you and for me. You cannot be a true Christian. Now, you might not understand it the moment you get saved. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to talk about that. A man might not understand the virgin birth, but he'll believe it because he's a child of God. May not understand it, but that's what the Bible says, so I believe it. I don't understand all the hypostatic union of Son of God with Son of Man and God becoming flesh. I don't understand all of that. But one thing I know, the Bible says he came from heaven. And so I believe it. You see, that's where we move from the flesh to faith. And this truth, the incarnation, was what they refused to accept. And I want to tell you something. You want to know why Christmas time is so cluttered with secularism? Have you ever wondered how it got to be so? Well, it wasn't so bad, maybe 150, 200 years ago, but even then it was coming on. It used to be that Christmas was celebrated where you put your tree up the morning of and you took it down the night of. All right? That was Christmas Day. Then as the time went on, it began to expand all the way back to Thanksgiving in America. And now it's extended all the way past January the 1st and into the weeks after that. It's this very extended long time. And it's not about Jesus, is it? It's about secularism. Big stir in Tallahassee. Next week, they're supposed to set up the first time in Florida history, they're going to put up an atheist Christmas decoration. Now, I thought they didn't believe in Christmas, but they're going to have one. And it's put there by the worshipers of Satan. All right? They're going to have this dark angel that they made. Whoever built it looked like they came out of second grade or something. It's the ugliest looking thing, and it looked like a 2-year-old put it together. But maybe that's the best they could do. But they showed a picture of what they're going to put up there, and it's going to be right in the center of the new Capitol building. It's going to stand right there. And it's going to be there. Allowed that. They talked to Governor Scott about it. He said, I don't make the decisions about what they put in the Capitol building. But I would have made some kind of declaration and come out and said, listen, we don't want that garbage in our Capitol building. What have they done for the state of Florida? How many people you think worship in their church? Maybe 5 or 6? Handful of these Satanist worshipers. Maybe they've got this Christmas decoration and just defamatory language that's put on there. Attacking Christianity. What is it that they despise? They don't want any knowledge of God. And especially this truth that God became man. That is the way of salvation for all of us. God had to become man in order to be tempted in all points as we are. Yet what? Without sin? He was the only man to ever walk the face of the earth that never sinned and therefore met every aspect of the law in complete obedience to the law and therefore was fit before God and would his work on the cross would satisfy God and you and I could be justified. Why? It goes all the way back here to the incarnation and the Jews despise it and today the majority of people living in this world despise this truth. How dare you say that God sent His Son to become a man? Nobody can believe that. And yet, folks, that's the heart and soul of the gospel. That God would deign to love us and to provide a way of salvation through His Son in such a unique and astounding and jaw-dropping way. Make His Son, the eternal Son of God, become man through the virgin birth, whereby He would not receive a sin nature through an earthly father. I can't even fathom how God would bring all this about and strain our language to be able to communicate that He is not sinful man, but He is the Son of Man. And He was 100% human, yet without sin. Folks, if there's a problem with that, then we don't have any hope. You understand that? If there is a problem with that, if there's something wrong and something was not done right, then you and I have no hope tonight. And we're wasting our time. But I'm here to tell you, on the authority of the revealed Word of God, that God's Son came from heaven, as indicated in this passage, from heaven, not from earth, but from the throne of God. He set aside the prerogatives of His deity, and He lowered Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even in those verses in the book of Philippians, we have the connection to the cross. Our salvation. The way in which we could be redeemed through His blood. Look at verse 50 in the same passage. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof. And what are those next three words? Well, aren't these precious? And not die. Now you say, well, people die. People die. Well, we're talking about earthly death. Yes, people die. But there is no eternal death for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ and His finished work. There is no death. Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who His work took the stinger out of death and took the victory away from death. Because though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, from this world to His presence, we will not spend all eternity in death and hell, because we will have been able to go to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The incarnation is the heart of our faith. And yet it's being trampled on and covered up so that we can have all the trappings of Christmas. And sadly, so many Christians lose opportunity to give the good news of the gospel to people because their heart is not lifted by the truth of the incarnation. Verse 51 is where we started. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live. How long? Forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If you have any life, it has to be in Jesus Christ. This world is not much. We were over yesterday at Barrancas National Cemetery, and we were there in the news section. And the director there at Barrancas was saying, you know, this just opened. This side just opened here in 2012. And we already have 4,000 graves in this new section. I mean, just rows and rows and rows and rows. And those were people that lived here upon this earth. And now they're in eternity. Life begins in Jesus Christ. It begins the moment you are saved. That's when life really begins for you. Because from that point on, it's life everlasting. And that's the promise of the incarnation. Two very quick verses. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And then verse 62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before. Where was that? Heaven. Heaven. Again. This message of the truth of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, relates to His incarnation. He came from heaven to this earth, taking upon Himself flesh so that He could pay our sin debt as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And in Him, you and I have hope for all eternity. You may desire to have much from this world, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. You don't have a thing that's worth. You know, you can talk about, we in our play here, we've got some fake gold coins that we have up there. And one of the kids the other day said, "Mr. Brainerd, wouldn't it be nice if this was real gold?" As he dropped the plastic down onto the table, no metal sound at all. And I said, "Well, I wouldn't want it to be like that. But I'll tell you something that's more valuable than that. And that's walking the streets of gold. But the only way you get there is through the blood and the merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ." I'm emphasizing this truth because, folks, we have much to give at this Christmas time. And I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about the best gift. Little track, the best gift, what is that? That's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we need to make this Christmas about that. We need to share on the Christmas program night. I've got the kids working on. We're going to put a little candy cane on a gospel track, and everybody that comes on Christmas program night is going to get a gospel track, and they're going to get a little candy cane to go with that as a witness and testimony, so they've got the Word of God and they can carry it with them home. I'm praying that the Lord will use that in a special way, because I want them to have the gospel. I want them to know Jesus Christ, because anything they get up from under the tree in 2 or 3 years is going to be shot to pieces. It won't be worth much. I told the kids in chapel this past week about a little pop gun that I wanted to have whenever I was a kid. I put hints all over the place. We used to have an Otasco store out in Pace. Anybody remember that? That Otasco store had a flyer, and they had one of those little cock guns. And it was a shotgun, cock gun, and when you fired it, it had a pump inside it. It'd kick you and make a big sound. And I put hints all over the place. I stuck it in Dad's newspaper. I had it stuck up on the bathroom mirror. I had it everywhere. And then I went on special ops. You know what that is? Kids all know what that is. That's where you start looking all over the house to try to find the gifts. And guess what I did? I found them. I found that gun, and I was so excited. I was about to jump out of my skin. Whenever I found it, it was hidden in my dad's closet. And so Christmas Day come, and I could not wait. You know how long that gun lasted? 1 month. Now, Roger's gun still works. Roger never broke anything growing up. He was so meticulous with everything. But I was trying to be the rifle man. You know that? Boom, 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 boom. I got 2 clicks off before the handle broke. And that was it. So while he was shooting his gun at me from around the corner, guess what I was doing? Bang, bang, bang. I couldn't even use my gun like it's supposed to be. No kick, no nothing. That's how long my Christmas gift lasted. All right? Everything you get under the tree is going to be destroyed someday. You may make it last a few years, but it'll be destroyed one day. It'll burn up. But you better have that which will never be destroyed. Amen? And that is Jesus Christ. And you better give that gift at Christmas time. You better give that gift. We are nearing the return of our Lord. I'm more convinced every day that I live that this world is setting the stage and that trumpet's going to sound. And I want to see my family. I want to see everybody in heaven. I've told you this before. I'm going to ask the Lord if He'll give us just a moment to go over there and get together as a church family and just have a hymn singing service, to sing glories to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of His goodness and grace. But where did it come about? It came about when God became man and dwelt among us. And that's the heart and soul of the gospel. If He did not do that, there would be no salvation. There would be no hope. There would be no meeting in heaven of the Grace Bible Church family. And so I want to encourage you at this time to spend as much time, saturate your heart and mind with the Bible. You've got to get over the secularism that's all around us. You can't move through Walmart without stepping on some ornament or something that's out there and getting down the rows of all the sales and stuff like that, and you won't see Jesus anywhere. So you better get in the book and saturate your heart and mind so you can be ready for Christmas. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together. Lord, we're so shallow. We get so wrapped up in all the secularism of Christmas, and we lose sight of the heart and soul of what we're about and the salvation that we received. And it was because God became man, took upon Himself flesh, and went to the cross of Calvary, the perfect spotless Lamb, and bore our sin in His body on the tree. What a glorious truth. May we not fail to give that truth to all that we know, and to give a tract, have them with us, be ready to give, and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift we could bestow upon anyone. Father, I pray that You would cleanse us of the world, of the flesh, and of the influences of the devil, and help us to live for Thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.